this time, every time you try to do something, there's COVID, and then there's the war, and then there's the thing, and now Misgav can't come, and they canceled last year's Winter League, and now this league was like half and half, and it's like we can't get a break. We're small, we're trying to grow up sports here, and we can't get a break.
Haven't the Jewish people suffered enough?
Yeah, exactly. שלום וברוכים הבאים ל-אי כושר הוטדוג, פודקאסט הבייסבול הראשון בעברית עם יוני לברי ואנוכי ארז שעד. שלום יוני.
אהלן ארז.
יוני, משדר 215.
מגיע אלינו.
בחסות טטרש, מסחר ויבוא עצים, כל סוגי העצים מכל רחבי העולם ובאיכות יוצא דופן. בקרו אותנו בכתובת דרך בן צבי 20 ביפו או באינטרנט עם הקפאר דוציאות הטייל, כי המחירים שלנו הם לא בדיחת קרש.
חד משמעי.
זהו, תודה. עכשיו, אני אומר את זה, ואני כאילו אומר, מי יבקר אותנו?
מי?
אז זהו, שאני לא...
נגרים, כל מיני נגרים.
לא, אז פתאום אנחנו לא מספיקים להגיד, ובום, באו לבקרנו שני אנשים. תגידו יפה שלום לפרדי ביינס ויואב בן. שלום. תגיד שלום, לא ישמעו אותך ברדיו אחר.
לא רואים את הידיים.
טוב, אז פרדי, אתה מגיע אלינו בתור... התואר, אם אני מבין, נכון, זה הוצאתי מהאתר, זה... Beneficiate Dictator for Life of the Israeli Academy.
משהו
wow.
כזה.
וואו. Wow. כן, כן.
וואו, wow, פוצץ.
כן, Benevolent. Benevolent Dictator for Life. ויואב בל, אתה אחד הסרפס שלו.
אני עזבתי את הפי.
כן, אז wow. מה התואר המדויק?
אני מאמן נבחרת ישראל ל-18 מתחת, בייסבול.
אוקיי.
וגם המאמן הראשי של אקדמיית הנוער.
אוקיי.
18 מתחת גם.
And we're gonna do it in English, yep. Because that's the most Hebrew you are allowed to speak on this.
It's gonna be a long off-season, this off-season. It's gonna be a lot of English.
Yes, yes. Yoni, you will be able to communicate in the United States with your own brother, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. It's like...
Okay, but before that, we are going to say happy birthday to...
Oh, we have some nice names.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Biggio.
You're
celebrating
right.
Today. Bill Buckner is celebrating today.
Ah, what a
my
great
best
man.
Friend.
Ken.
And another two names, St. John's and John Anderson. I don't know them.
The lead singer of Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, mazal tov.
So, and
the question is, name the first player since 1900 to lead both leagues in home runs and triples in the same season. Okay, both leagues to lead the majors.
Yeah, but that's the question. Did he lead the majors?
One player.
Was he traded and led or something?
No, I don't think. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think
okay,
that's the thing.
Okay.
But I don't know. So we have E names. Each one will have to pick a name.
All right.
We have Willie Mays.
Oh, that's a good one.
We have Stan the Man.
That's another good one.
We have George Brett, which is a little bit
also
later on. Jim Rice.
Also a good one.
And the Mick.
The Mick with the mental.
The Mick with the mental, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
That's another good one.
So, you're the visitors, you should
home runs and triples.
And triples, yeah.
In the same year?
The majors, the same year, yeah.
That's
to be a power and
the glory.
And quick guy, yeah.
Both the power and the glory.
I feel like Willie Mays is a good guess, but maybe it's a little bit too obvious.
I think also...
Nothing is too obvious.
He was
the Mick.
I remember him and Willie Mays around the first home run derby, and he was also known for his speed.
Yeah.
So
everyone, both Jim Rice and Jim Rice, as we all know, has ran
a
marathon.
The marathon, yeah.
Yeah, he ran a marathon in home runs around the bases. Yeah, they calculated, and the number of runs he made around the bases equals to
42 kilometers.
So I'll take Rice. Obviously, Oni will not.
Yes.
You're
going with Mickey?
So you're going with Willie?
I'll go with Willie Mays.
Okay, so Freddy with Willie, you are with Mickey. I'll take Stan the Man.
Ah, okay. I thought you'll take George Brett.
He's the...
Okay, so everyone, we will know who was right and who was wrong later on. So guys, first of all, thank you for coming. This is part of the great Israeli baseball project.
Off-season project, yeah.
And we wanted you to come and talk to us about, first of all, about baseball. So you come here as a Texan.
Yes.
Do you see yourself as a Texan or?
Not really. I've lived in Israel my whole life, so just my dad is from there, and I've only been there a few times.
Yeah, obviously. So, where were you talking like 2 years ago? I would say, and are you angry with your dad for giving you this? But now you have a championship ring, so I think it's.
I'm just mad I don't have the southern accent. That's something you, I want.
Okay, Freddie, you come to us from?
Originally from Los Angeles.
So you're a Dodgers fan.
Dodger fan, born and raised. And
congratulations.
Thank you. It was
we did our part.
A sleepless October. grew up going to Dodger games in LA, and whenever I'm back there, I try to go to games if I'm there. And they're in town.
So, Freddie, so you not only watched baseball, you also played baseball in the U.S.?
Yeah, so I started playing when I was 7 years old.
Which was when? What, 10 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. I was 7 years old. I went to my first organized baseball tryout on Fairfax Avenue at the baseball field there. My mom took me.
Right.
And they sort of evaluate every kid and then place them on different teams. And I remember I threw out my arm in my first tryout. And I went home crying.
That's how you do it.
So, but I ended up being placed on the Giants, which upset me.
Okay, that's also a good one.
And it was coach pitch. And my dad was an assistant coach on the team. And the head coach would be the one who would pitch to all the kids. Like you'd pitch the kid, the coach would pitch to their own players.
Right.
But whenever I would come up to bat, I would call time and ask my dad to come pitch to me. So I think I peaked early. I hit 857 that year. And I started keeping track of stats back then too. Yeah.
And then you did your baseball career ended, and then you came to Israel, or did you come to Israel and which killed your career in baseball?
No. So I continued to play. Once I moved to Israel and played on some national teams.
Which was when? How old were you?
I was 11 when I moved.
Was tough.
What's that?
Was tough.
It was. It wasn't too hard because we moved to Ra'anana. So.
All right. Yeah.
The California of Israel.
Exactly. Yeah. So I continued playing here for the local Ra'anana team and for the national team as well.
Right.
I played in 6 tournaments for the national team up to the U18 level. And then I started coaching once I finished high school.
With whom did you play? Some nice names.
Who did I play with? The Moore brothers. Zev and Eitan.
Right, right.
Who else did you get? Ofer and I played on a couple of national teams together.
A friend of the show,
another Ranger.
So how did you become the coach of the U18, whatever it's called these days?
I toppled the previous regime. That's good.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I told him it's going to be an investigation about that.
No.
So you basically was assistant coach, and then you went to the boss and you badmouthed the coach.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
What's going on in Syria now is a little bit concerning.
let's just say this is how most Israeli coaches progress in life. They become assistant coach, and very soon when the coach is dubbed, they are becoming the coach.
Yeah, so I started coaching as soon as I finished high school, pretty much. I was coaching the local junior league. I coached a little bit with the U12 national team.
You retired playing?
I played a little bit in the PL after that. But, once I started my military service, I started coaching. And then two and a half years ago, I started, I took over as head of the U18 program.
What position did you play?
For the national team? I pitched and I played first base. For my local team, I played short. I pitched, but for the national team, I was
So you pitched and first day you were in charge of the pickoff attempt.
Right, exactly.
You can do that. You have so you obviously, as retaliation to your dad who forced you to be a Rangers fan, you decided that you were going to carve your own way in baseball.
Yeah.
So How does a kid from Modi'in comes to be interested in baseball other than watching it? Because
is there
a local team?
Yes, there's a local team. Mm-hmm. My dad used to take my older brother to the park and play baseball.
Yeah, he's a legend, Taibel.
Yeah, and I would tag along. I don't remember any of this. This is before I can remember. And that's just how I started playing baseball. And I started playing in the league when I was 5,
mm-hmm.
and I've played ever since then.
So in Modi'in, or did you?
In Modi'in, I've played for the local team since then, and I play on playing national team.
So somebody comes to you and say, listen, you're good, we want you on the national team, or do you need to?
Ty started playing in the national team. I don't know how he got into it.
Just came and you started playing and nobody says, it's like the Joe Costanza, man.
Show up.
Yeah, you show up. Okay, Freddie, how did the magic happen? How do kids who excel in baseball are picked to play in let's call it the national teams in the low levels and the academy?
So the way it works is that every year at the beginning of the year we'll ask all the local coaches to recommend a number of players from their local teams to come try out for the Academy National Team program.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, we choose the top players for the program.
So let's say, how was your love chosen? Was there some sort of debate, or did you all know, okay, he's
with protection?
Yeah, you're afraid
what
of his dad.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Right. And what do you play on? What positions, if I don't know?
Pitcher, third base.
Mm-hmm. And what do you prefer doing? Yeah, the other side.
I prefer a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Righty?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're all righties, you know.
I know, I mean, two lefties, right?
Yeah. In our league, what the fun part is, you can be pitcher, you can be fielder, and you can bat like leadoff or cleanup if you're good. But eventually you're gonna have to choose. So you will want to be a pitcher, or do you think you can?
I haven't decided that yet. Last year it was kind of decided for me that I was gonna be a pitcher.
Right.
But and I like that. I mean, pitching. I enjoy pitching. Facing the batters.
Well, obviously.
What do you mean by decided for you? Walk us through this thing.
My coaches saw me more as a pitcher than a hitter, and mm-hmm. I kind of agree with that. Last year's me, and this year I want to become a hitter again because I really enjoy that too. But I haven't decided yet if I want to be a pitcher or a hitter in the future.
But the thing is, practicing as a pitcher and as a hitter are two different things. So
It's a lot of work, to do both. But pitching and hitting mechanics, if you do both, you notice that they're mostly the same. Just everything, your hips, your legs, everything is really the same. But it's a lot. And
do you think being a pitcher makes you a better hitter, or being a hitter makes you a better pitcher, or the two are like completely irrelevant in your mind?
I mean, I think some of the drills that I do pitching mm-hmm. might help my hitting, the way I move my body as a pitcher might help my hitting.
Because I remember this, somebody famous, I don't remember his name, who said that when he started hitting in the National League, pitchers would bat once upon a time, and he said he realized how hard it is to hit the ball. He became much more aggressive as a pitcher because I don't have to be afraid of them. They're hitting like once every 10 pitches I throw. So, but that's the thing. He says being a hitter made me a better pitcher because I became less afraid.
And
plans for the future in this, or let's play and see?
Let's play and see. I haven't really decided yet. I've still got 3 years.
Big leagues.
It's always, if it's there, it's there.
So, Freddy, is this like your day job, being the coach, or are you moonlighting in...
It's my night job. I'm also a student at Tel Aviv University.
Oh, okay. So a student. That's...
Studying what?
Studying economics and applied math.
Wow. It's tough one.
Well, yeah. Math will help him calculate the best.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. That's what I...
Moneyball and all that.
Exactly.
The big question for me is because you're a coach of a team who plays in a league, but you're also coaching like you're supposed to develop the players. So winning may not be the most important thing.
Right.
And I always say that because you see like in football, in soccer, Israeli soccer, you have in the juniors. The guy just want to bring to win, so he puts all the kids as strikers and win 10-0, and they can't do defense or anything.
Right.
So, but then again, you want them to excel. You want them to
improve,
and the best thing to do it is in a real game situation, not in training. How do you balance the two?
Right. So it's a tough balancing act because on the one hand, we do want to, we show up to win every game in the PL. Mm-hmm. And we tell the players that too. Like we want to win this league, even though it's not our number one priority, right? These are all players that are part of the U18 national team program. And, they have their sights set on winning bigger tournaments, international tournaments. Yeah. But we also do need to focus on their development, and it means getting more guys involved in every game and sometimes pulling a pitcher in order to get another guy innings, so it's something that we have to find a balance.
Yeah, which is why I never criticize you for switching players, despite the fact that as somebody watches the game, I'm like, why are you pulling this guy after 3 innings? He's great, he's winning you the game.
Yeah, well, I actually love making substitutes just because it pisses you off as the official scorer.
Yeah, we know.
You're not the only scorekeeper that I've managed to piss off because.
Yeah, I came to Josh, the commissioner, and I'm like, listen, is Freddy's coaching next season? He said, yes, I'm not keeping score anymore.
We were at a tournament in Germany a year and a half ago. And there was an Italian scorekeeper there who, we're actually going back to this tournament in April. I wonder if he'll still be there. He was sitting in the score booth smoking a cigarette the whole game. And every time I'd make it, he wasn't really paying attention to the field either. So every time there, it's on video too. I'm in the, I'm next to the scoring booth, like jumping up and down, like trying to get his attention.
But you're saying what you're doing. I remember that some manager called.
He didn't
say anything. Just switch.
He enjoys that. He comes to me. Okay, the guy from second goes to left field. The guy from left field goes to first. The guy from first goes to pitching. Yeah, the guy from pitching sits out, and he comes. The other guy comes in and is going to play DH, and he's going to
DH,
and he's going to also he's going to come in and tell you what he's going to do next. Play, and I'm like, I can't control that. Is are you okay with this? The guy is insane. You started on pitching, you may end up, I don't know, on the other team, batting ninth or something like that.
We can make a trade mid-game.
That would be something.
Yeah, we've discussed it.
I remember in the Savannah Banana, there was a guy that played all 9 positions in 1 inning.
We have Nathan Bash, who once coached one team and pitched for the other.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Only in the PL do you see things like that.
Yeah, only in the PL. I mean, that's why I tell people, come watch the PL. This is baseball the way it was intended.
But the question is, if there is a difference between PL, which are, more grown up, than Little League or Juveniles, where you're supposed to give chances to players, even if they're not so good, or you put your worst defender at left field or right field because no balls are coming there, or you give him some chances to be in second, third.
Well, so the PL is, I mean, it's called the Premier League, right? Like it's the it's supposed to be the top players in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that it's different from, let's say, the Juveniles or Little League, where it's more exclusive, right? And the players, on our team are the top players from the academy. So, I wouldn't say
you're supposed to have 9 guys who can bat field and...
Right. I wouldn't say that there are any players that are you know, extreme liability.
If your pitcher is killing you, you will relieve him, maybe not immediately, but you will relieve him. You won't say, okay, it's a learning experience.
That's
lose us the game, right. You know, something like that.
Right, yeah, we like having a lot of pitchers on the roster. Mm-hmm. And we like having guys, you know, stretching and tossing early in the game. Because, like I said, like we want to try to win every game, and we never want to leave a pitcher out there just to bleed out on the mound.
What was that? Maybe the finals or the semifinals, and all of a sudden you jumped up and you screamed at your outfielder, "I don't care how strong your arm is, you do not." And that was like, "You do not miss the cutoff," something like that. That was beautiful.
We got to throw through our cuts. They know
that. Yeah, that was beautiful. I was like, see, that's. I think you're making a good balance. All joking aside, the question is the fact that baseball is a game of failures makes this easier to dance on both.
Right.
Does it make it easier?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the expectations are set ahead of time, you know, with mm-hmm. regards to the PL. The players are all on the same page and they're all bought in, and they understand that there are going to be games that we're going to lose, and it's at the end of the day, it's about their development as ball players, right? Like, there's a big difference in the way we approach our game planning and the way we manage our team versus how other teams manage their teams, because the players all understand that the PL is you know, another way for them to develop as ball players, not necessarily... You know, it's not their big leagues. You know?
But I understand that they have to give their A game.
Yeah, of course.
This is the way to learn. This is the way to develop.
Of course.
You have is the idea that you're basically playing a game in which the margin of error is the biggest in all known sports, that you're going to you will walk players and you will deliver the big hit and you may not be. You know, you may end with 0 out of 4, and that's okay. That's part of the game. Failure is the name of the game. I mean,
yeah.
Are you okay with it? Or is it just, I'm a baseball, that's my life?
I mean, you know, anytime you go 0-4 or something like that, there's always something to learn.
Yeah, I'm 0-for-life and I haven't learned anything, So at least you can learn something.
I mean, you look back, you ask your coaches what you were doing wrong, and you improve on it. I mean, baseball is a game of improvement. You mm-hmm. improve. There's a lot of things in baseball, and you improve. And, you know, going 0-for-4 happens. It happens to big leaguers. It happens to me.
Yeah,
it happens to everyone. And the way that if you deal with it, then that shows that you can be a better baseball player. And if you don't, then you throw your helmet. You're out of the game. You're just not with it. Then you
taught him well how to answer questions.
I briefed him before this.
Yeah, I know this. I know this.
Nukalush.
Yeah. So before we move to other players, do you have any major league players that you follow? Not just as a fan, but also, you know, trying to be like them, play like them, copy their swings or their...
Yeah, I mean, a player that I like right now is Josh Young, third baseman for the Rangers.
Right.
You know, I don't know why I like him. Yeah, he's a third baseman.
Young.
Yeah, he's young.
He's young.
He's young. Yeah.
He was injured last season, right?
Most of it. Do you still serve more as a Josh Young or more as an Evan Carter or whatever his name is?
Evan Carter.
Yeah.
Or a Nathan Ivaldi.
I see myself more as a Josh Young. Evan Carter.
There are models in your team at the moment, I think.
I'm not exactly the fastest guy.
No, that's okay. If you compare like Seager and Simeon and Carter and what was the name? Jonah Heim, you have some good role model players to watch.
Like, you look at every player and every position seems to be filled with some good players that can really hit. And I'm disappointed that nothing happened this year, but...
can't
win them all.
Yeah, that's the Rangers for you.
World Series hangover. That's
what it was. I would say last year was a blip, technically. I mean, every year we started. Why is the Rangers having the third highest payroll in baseball and still won't get to the playoff. This is, that was the, every year, one time they proved us wrong, which was amazing. Okay, so speaking of payrolls, Yoni, are you ready?
I'm ready, but for what?
let's start with the player that will bring in the big money.
Your player.
No, your player.
Mine.
Yeah, give us a prospect. Give us a.
All right. Okay. So the list up until now was, we had Red Lauder, the pitcher for the Reds. Baba Chandler, another pitcher for the Pirates. Jacob Wilson, the shortstop for the A's, just A's. Kevin Matthews, Rangers, pitcher for the Rangers. Dylan Cruz from the Nationals, outfielder, and Agustin Ramirez, the catcher of the Marlins.
Okay.
The new name is Matt Shaw. He's a shortstop. He's 23 years old, he plays for the Cubs.
He was just at the Premier 12s in Japan. He's playing for Team USA.
Oh, you see, you can add some stuff here. He didn't move in this trade, right, to Houston.
No.
I think Ken,
What
was his name?
Let's
see. Cam Smith did move. And we're going to talk about him next week, I think. He's rated 31 in Baseball America. He was picked in the first round of 2023 draft, number 13.
Yeah. Now, the Cubs have a shortstop.
Yeah, that's true. That's the question is, yeah, if they're going to play with him positions, move him in the infield somewhere else, or going to use him as a chip and trade him somewhere. Because they're pretty close in the shortstop position.
Yeah. All right. Another. So that brings that. Let's stay with the Cubs. This is the, well, it's not breaking, but it's pretty
news.
It's new news. Kyle Tucker moved to Chicago with Isaac Paredes, Hayden Wesneski, and Cam Smith all moving to Houston.
Yeah, it's Paredes for Tucker, pretty much. That's the trade. Which opens their base, so, you know.
Yeah, okay. So my basically it says, we talked about the Cubs basically going for some sort of, rebuild, because they released a lot of players in the non-tender deadline, and now they're basically all but saying we are thinking of releasing, trading what's his name?
Bellinger?
Bellinger
is on the block now. Right.
Bellinger and Suzuki are both...
Mainly Bellinger, I think. The question is now, okay, now the Tucker, I think, is like one of the best outfielders in the game. And he's supposed to be the top free agent of next season, which is going to be a lower market than this season. So I think the Cubs will try to lock him in. And give him an extension during this season, maybe the offseason even. And now we have to see where does Bellinger go, because I don't think he's going to stay there.
No, which is weird. Another interesting thing, your team and the Yankees acquired Devin Williams, sending Nestor Cortes and somebody called Caleb Durbin.
Caleb Durbin is supposed to be a good second baseman.
He's fast. He's really fast. I think he's on in the... Was it the Arizona Fall League, maybe?
He stole
like 29 bases in 24 games. So.
Yeah, and they thought about putting him instead of Gleyber in second base this season, but, well, he's not here anymore. We need a closer, so we don't have a closer.
Well, obviously, Nestor Cortes is not good as a closer, as we saw.
And the minute Max Fried signed, it was pretty sure that they're going to move somebody at the pitching rotation.
Okay.
I think that Nesty is the best option to do it.
Okay. Loaiza guys also re-signed.
Yeah, well, we played like 20 games in the last three seasons together, so.
But still, I mean, just for putting Team Israel in the WBC, he should, I think the Jewish vote got him a contract in New York.
We're with him.
All right, Max Fried, as you just said, signed for the Yankees.
8 years to 218. Yeah. Well, I think it's a very good move.
everyone, for everyone, I think.
The question is if he's going to stay healthy. If he's going to stay healthy, he's a great pitcher. He's a lefty.
I don't think.
I think in the last three, he's missing some time.
Everybody does.
That's true. Kobe Benz doesn't.
Yeah.
So
he's still on.
I think if you compare the Fried contract to like the Snell contract,
mm-hmm.
I mean, again, I'm looking at this as a Dodger fan, but like Snell got a lot fewer years. I mean, the Yankees had to commit 8 years to mm-hmm. Fried, whereas Snell, they gave five. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers gave Snell five. And I also think that Snell just has like far more upside. Like, I think Snell's A game is better than anybody else's in baseball.
But he has Snell also a basement.
Right, that's right. Fried is very, very solid and much more reliable.
Pretty much so.
Consistent, right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of... the Dodgers were always more open to, let's call it, the Tampa Bay version of baseball, where you don't live and die, which is weird because they have like somebody like Clayton Kershaw, one of the last pure aces in the game. They don't live and die on the idea that their starter will throw 6 to 7 innings. They're willing to. They won the championship with bullpen games.
Right.
So a player like Snell, who you know will not throw over 5 innings, if is
most pitchers doesn't anymore.
Yeah, but he's the best in that. He's like that's his game. That's the best pitcher. Max Fried, you expect him to throw 7+? You expect him to. Why not?
But I think it was relative to what the market is giving. I think it was a good deal for the Dodgers.
The numbers are crazy. And I think the Dodgers are just going to make a 10-pitch rotation. That's the way they work. They know 4 pitchers are going to go on Tommy John. That happens every year. So they got a Tani back.
All right. Garrett Crochet transferred to the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a big deal?
I do.
I think that once again the Red Sox are I said Red Sox must remember that they are like the third or fourth biggest club. Start paying big money. Sign Burns. Sign Fried. No, they trade. They trade over.
Wait up! We just started.
I don't know.
I think Teoscar Hernandez is going to come also. I think so. I don't know. But I think now that they have like a big pitcher with them, and there's a lot of young core with Carter Crawford and with Duran
Duran. His name is Rio, and he dances on the I don't know. It feels to me. I mean, I'm willing to. They are supposed to be one of the other two. I mean, this is really silly. It's like. They are the leading runners in Corbin Burns. Well, yeah, until somebody else makes him an offer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I expect the Red Sox to pay up, to pony up more money. Speaking of ponying up more money, Juan Soto has landed the. So your contract, your $7 million contract that the Dodgers gave to Otani is no longer the biggest contract in baseball.
I thought you were asking about my contract with this.
Yeah.
Well, similar
third, right? Your third.
Right.
I mean, you've been given $1 billion by the Dodgers, only it's deferred for like 20 decades or something. I mean, I don't even know how to look at this number. It's so insane. It's $765 million. It's for 15 years. It's going to be, what, 32 when he finished with it? 41. And if they want to keep him after 2029, they will have to pay him more, $4 million more, or $5 million. So we would probably... Per season. Eventually, he already been given $75 million as a signing bonus. He will end up making about $805 million. Nothing is deferred. He will get that money every season.
What does it make the Mets? This move.
It makes them, well, let's just say last year with Juan Soto on the other New York team,
mm-hmm.
the other New York team made the World Series. The Mets made the championship series.
Mm-hmm.
This is the trade this is the sign that's supposed to turn it upside down. The Yankees are now not supposed to make the World Series, the Mets are supposed to make
it. Well, the Mets have a lot of work to do.
Well, obviously, they don't have the pitching.
They don't have first baseman now.
That's...
Which
that's
I think they might be like moving, 40
a season, right?
They might be moving Vientos over to first, right? I
think no, but it means you lose a lot. So
40 home runs.
I don't know if they lost him. They
yeah.
have
not signed yet. Of now.
And the thing is...
And three starters, right?
Yeah, they need starters. They need starters. Juan Soto is great, but you really need starters and maybe another bat, which they may have. I mean, the kids, they have... show potential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy Mark Vientos may be a good power bat, but no, it's obviously just the beginning. But that's the thing. I mean, the question was why did Juan Soto sign with the Mets?
I think he felt that the Mets wanted him more than everybody else.
I think he looked at the offer and said,
"Yeah, the offer was the best." Yeah, the offer was the best.
The thing is. This was made because Steve Cohen said, whatever it takes, this guy, he told Boras, I don't know, but it feels like he told Boras, whatever you want, I'll give you more. And he gave him this offer. He gave him that $5 million a year after 2029. He gave him the signing bonus. He gave him a suite. He gave him a free suite, which is about, about $10,000 in average. Gave him a suite, free suite, $10,000 on average for every home game, so he can bring his family, because Soto asked for it.
Hmm.
If Soto wanted a personal chef that would import Dominican delicacies and make them, he would have got it, because that's the thing. Steve Cohen wants a guy. This time he's going to get it, and it's really it's kind of weird. To be on that side of the
well, after he missed on Yamamoto and he missed on Otani. Last season.
Yeah.
Now he had to show that he's here. He's still here.
I think the Mets spend more than 100% of their revenue. Like Steve Cohen likes to spend money.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. They always they've been overpaying on their revenue. But the question is, let's just say, I don't know if anyone is worth $700 million. Otani, you can say, is a once-in-a-generation talent because he can pitch, he's an MVP on both sides. Is Juan Soto worth this amount of money? Is he like, let's say, if Juan Soto is this generation's Barry Bonds, yes, he's worth seven-whatever millions. But if he's, generation's Cecil Fielder.
No, he's better than that.
I think Soto's arguably the best hitter in baseball right now.
He's
a once in a generation talent. Like the point is to have players like Juan Soto, So he was on the market, and Steve Cohen said, "We're gonna get him no matter what."
Yeah, I think that next time we're gonna have a player like this who is a free agent, like 600 million plus, it's going to take time.
That's good.
We had like three seasons with Judge, with Otani, and with Soto. It's unique. It's not going to happen.
Why do you think the Yankees did not try to...
They did. They stopped at 700 million. It's not like...
No, they stopped at 760.
760, even more.
It seems that Soto just like wanted to go to the Mets. I think that's probably what it was. Like the Yankees made very... they made enormous offers, and he just seems like he wanted to go to the Mets.
Now, you said he wanted to be the number one player, not the number
two. That's another thing, I think. I think that being in the shadows of Judge is not something he wanted. He wanted to be the franchise player. But and I know that the Mets have Lindor. It's
that's
not
the
same.
Thing. No, it's going to be the Pete Alonso to Lindor's... Well, to Lindor's Lindor. It's going to be the second... It's going to be the franchise. It's going to be the A-Rod to the G to the Derek Jeter. So it's going to be like the biggest paid star. I think the Mets. I don't know if he wants to be a leader. I don't know if he wants to be like the guy who
grabs the lights to be on him. He likes the lights to be on.
No, I have no problem with that. That's a different thing than being the leader, than being
the
captain.
New York, the lights were on somebody else.
In the Yankees.
In the Yankees. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so you're saying when he says my job is to get on base for Judge, he was...
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the 2025 just starting, and yeah, Lindor is the biggest Met. That's for now, one more season, two more seasons. I think Soto is going to be the one, the guy.
No, that's... I would be very happy to when that happened. Two other things, another two great players, Andrés Giménez and Willy Adames. Andrés Giménez went to the Blue Jays in a trade, and Willy Adames signed with the Giants. Are you sad?
That's
because we really thought he was going to be with the Dodgers. We really thought he was going to the Dodgers. Dodgers made some moves to free up a shortstop.
I was, as a Dodgers fan, I was pretty glad that he did not sign with the Dodgers.
Really?
Adames is a good player, but I think he got a little bit overpaid. I mean, good for him and good for the Giants.
Which happens every player.
Of course. But I think the Dodgers have enough talent that they didn't need to overpay for Adames. And I mean, it addresses a big need for the Giants. I mean, they're really...
I think it's a great signing for them.
For them, it's a good
signing. It's a great signing. I think he's really good. He has the leadership, he has the bat, he has the defense.
Great line guy in the clubhouse.
He can't pitch, but then again...
Well...
All right. So, before we move on, Yoni, I think it's time to hit the experts. To hit them.
All right.
And I'm gonna ask you, and this is I'm gonna ask you guys a lineup. This is a lineup that a real game that happened between 1998 and last season. And feel free to pop in when you know the answers.
We have to know which teams and which season.
Yeah,
I can tell you. It's gonna be the batting order of a.
I'm giving you the batting order of both sides and the pitching. And you'll have to guess the teams and the year. And there's an interesting twist about both teams, which I will not reveal at this moment.
Ooh, there's a twist.
A twist on. A twist-ish. A very minor thing. Okay, so the away team started with Alberto Callaspo, maybe Callaspo.
Callaspo,
okay. Third base. Second player, Howie Kendrick, second base.
This is the Angels.
All right.
Yeah, but Kendrick played like all over, but...
Kendrick is
My guess is...
He played with the Angels, yeah.
Was I supposed to wait till the end, or...?
Drop names.
All right.
All right. Third was Bobby Abreu, left fielder.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Left field. Left. Right. Mainly right.
Well, right field was the next guy, Tori Hunter,
Okay.
Your favorite Japanese player, or maybe second, Hideki Matsui.
Also, that's supposed to be 2010. I think after he finished with us to 2009, he moved to the Angels, and I think he played just one season. So 2010 is a good option for that.
That is interesting.
Something like that.
All right, number six is Mike Napoli on first, Eric Aibar, shortstop, then Jeff Mathis was a catcher, and Reggie Willits, the center fielder.
It's a good team.
Pitcher, Irvin Santana.
Irvin Santana, which was Johan Santana, I changed his name in order for them to know that he's not the other Johan Santana.
It's a fun fact. Jordan Walden, Kevin Jepsen, and Fernando Rodney. So, we are in agreement?
Yeah. It's Angels, I think 2010.
No?
Something like that, yeah.
The other team, here's a name that we have not heard in a few weeks, but then before that we heard him every week, and that is Coco Crisp, center field.
Okay, Red Sox.
Yeah.
The A's or the Red Sox or Cleveland?
Second was Derek Barton.
That's the A's.
Third was Kevin Kuzmanoff. And he was relieved by... Is relieved or substituted for a position?
Substituted.
For Gabe Krobs. Yeah, you pitchers get relieved. Jack Cost was the cleanup. He was DH. Mark Ellis, second base.
Oh, Mark Ellis, okay.
Jeff Larish, left field to third base. Oh, I see you were the coach. Freddy, Rachai Davis, Landon Powell was the catcher, and Cliff Pennington, the shortstop, and the pitching, Win Mazzaro, Jerry Blevins, Boof Bonser, Justin James, and Russ Wolf. So, gentlemen, the names and the year, please.
Yeah, I think we're so...
10, 11, 12, around then. I don't know exactly when. I'm going to guess, just to be different, I'm going to guess 2011.
What year was Napoli on the Rangers, though?
I think that was later, right? Was
yeah, so like two, three more seasons.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I'll go 2010, Angels Ace.
All right. It is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which is a team that is... The name has changed, and they play against Oakland Athletics, which also is a changed name. That's the
Angels changed name during the game.
Yeah, that's the twist. Both teams are playing under different names. The Angels won this game 7-4. It was played.
Rodney was closing
in front of 16,413. People in attendance in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum for 3 hours and 4 minutes at Sunday, September 5th, 2010.
Yes. There you go.
Very good, very good.
The Godzilla made it.
The Godzilla made it. Hideki Matsui.
My God.
Well, you were right about 2010. He then went to Oakland and then to the Rays.
Oh, he moved on?
Yeah, he was... He moved the
ship. He didn't tell anybody about it.
Probably not. All right. So before we close up, and we talked about you guys as Israeli players. True story. What do you think about Israeli baseball? You've been playing as a player. Because, you know, we don't have the greatest, I always say that the guy who plays in America has a better heads up because he's getting American coaching from the get-go. And you get fed. So, I'm saying, but seriously, I mean, what do you think about the Israeli baseball? What would you have changed or what do you like about it?
Israel baseball has its ups and downs. I mean, right. I think some of the coaching is very good. You do find some good coaching in the national teams and stuff like that, in academies. But I think the lack of fields and the lack of stuff like that, like you need facilities if you really want to train the players, is, you know, it's something that we need to work on. I mean, they're building up Beit Shemesh, though. They've been doing that for years now.
There's a sign, a big sign there.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. I'm from Beit Shemesh, and I'm basically voting to whomever is promising to finish that field. And
nobody does it.
Nobody does it. Yeah, they take my vote and they...
Throw it away.
Yeah. So... do you think that growing up in you don't have like baseball at school or you're very, you have friends who watch baseball?
Most of the team that's with me in the Modine team, some of them are with me in school.
Right.
So they kind of watch baseball, but
the other
anytime one kid asks me, what are you doing like every day? I say baseball. Just blank face. They don't know what I'm talking about, and they always mistake it for football because that's growing here.
Machanaim. It's a machanaim.
Machanaim.
How is baseball like football? Okay.
That's just the American sports.
American sports. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you think if there was more like, I don't know, like a hug or whatever, people could visit, you know, kids and stuff, or do you think it wouldn't matter because?
It's not. It's pretty rare to find an Israeli that actually comes and plays. There's like they try to organize a whole Yom Kif every year, but.
But you started. How old were you when you started in Modin, playing in Modin?
Five. Yeah.
And the guys that were playing with you, all like something American with them, or.
I mean, at the younger ages, there's more diversity. There's more Israelis and stuff like that. But as you get into cadets or juveniles, literally, they move on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you go to soccer or something like that. So maybe it's...
Yeah, because I saw with my daughter, they are all just, you know, Israeli guys. know, Itamar and Ido and...
But what brings those kids? I mean,
that's again, PR, that's PR, that's walking, that going to schools, going to talk to
yeah, but I'm asking the guy who knows what he's talking about. So what do you think brought those other kids? You have legs up because your dad and family. What do you think brought the other kids?
I think it's just maybe one kid that goes to his classmates and asks his friends if they want to play at a younger age, and you know, they want to be with their friends, and that kind of gets them, into baseball.
Right.
I mean, I don't like, you know. I've never seen at my school someone from the IAB coming to.
Yeah, obviously. So, I mean, Modin. Yeah, I don't who think goes there. Who's your who is your favorite Israeli player, current or I don't know? Who do you like in the? It's okay. Can nobody will hear that? That's okay.
Am I allowed to say me?
Yeah, obviously. You're allowed to say
that. Like Aviv, I really like. Mm. I like watching him play.
Aviv Popov.
Yeah, Aviv Popov. Mm-hmm. I played with him on two national teams.
He didn't pitch.
He didn't pitch when I first time I went with him.
Right.
But you know, being on the team last year, I was the youngest guy, and he was one of the older guys. You know, I kind of got to learn from him, and I liked his style of play, his attitude towards play as yeah. a pitcher.
The Bobrov way, let's call it.
Bobrov way. Not as crazy as his older brother.
Yeah, but, obviously.
In the playing style. But you know, I liked his kind of calm attitude throughout the game. You know, I think I also try to do that as a.
Were you? Did you participate in some international tournaments?
Yeah.
When?
This past summer in Germany, I was. I went with the U18. That was my fourth right. national team I went to.
And do you think those things, apart from the excitement and the reward as a player, do they bring something to the team or? I mean, did they make you better player because you had to like, it's a real tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get as good competition in Israel as you do outside of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learning experience to see other, you know, other teams, different academies, and also, yeah, I really like them. I think they do make me a better player. Also, thanks. Just to be on one of those teams, you have to be. In the academy during the year and on the national team, and it's a lot of practices, and obviously that makes you a better player.
Okay.
So yeah.
Now, Freddie, do we can we get any answers, or are you going to be diplomatic? What do you think about the state of baseball in Israel?
I think, first of all, I think we've seen a lot of growth over the last couple of years
sure.
with the national team program, and I'm not just. You know, not just because I started coaching.
Yeah,
but,
no wonder.
And I think there have been a lot of great accomplishments over the last couple of years with the national team program, not just at the men's level, but, mm-hmm. you know, as in, you know, the U23s this past summer won their qualifiers in Switzerland.
Yeah, that was... I watched every game, and I have to say I was really pumped up.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I was, like, nervous as hell because I was, and then they were, like, 5-0 after half an inning, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they took care of business there, and
yeah, it was
know,
fun.
There are a lot of good things happening, but there's a lot of work to do, and it's an uphill battle because we're a very small sport
mm-hmm.
in a country that you know doesn't have a ton of government spending on sports, so we don't have a ton of resources. But there are a lot of good people involved that really want to make a difference and really want to grow the sport here.
I mean, it's kind of frustrating. I mean, looking from the side because. It's not the sport's fault that during the past 5 years when it was really trying to have a surge, you had COVID and a year-long war.
Right.
And it's like, if this emphasis that we have happened like 10 years ago, it would have been a much better because this time, every time you try to do something, there's COVID and then there is the war and then there is the thing and a miscap can't come and they cancel. They canceled last year's Winter League, and now this league was like half and half, and it's like we can't get a break. We're small. We're trying to grow our sports here, and we can't get a break.
Haven't the Jewish people suffered enough?
Yeah, exactly. So, but do you think there's a plan in place to let's like call it a 5 or 10 year plan?
First of all, it starts from the bottom up, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, it starts with growing the local programs, you know, investing in them and really strengthening not just the national team level, but you know, the local city programs. And, you know, we're slowly starting to see the success. You know, we have a lot of players playing overseas in college. A lot of guys that I played with or guys that I coached.
Mm-hmm.
I played with somebody I didn't mention that I played with on the national team was Asaf. Asaf was my backup on the national team. Mm. We're in the U15s. So I guess I peaked early.
Yeah, well. yeah, okay, that's good.
So you know, eventually, you know, I always speak to my players. I tell them that like one of my main goals is the U18 coaches to, you know, to see the Olympic team, the WBC team with players mm-hmm. that I'm coaching, you know, that are growing up in Israel. And that's something that's, you know, I think a couple years away, but it's something that I believe in. Yeah.
I mean, we're always going to have like the Jock Peterson, but we also could have the, well, whomever is, I don't know, the Aviv Bobos or, dare I say, the Yoav Bells, playing their inning or two. What is the one thing that you really think would help Israeli baseball?
The one thing that would help?
That we don't have. We should have.
I think the Beit Shemesh field will make a big difference. Mm-hmm. Not just for the Beit Shemesh program itself, but for programs in the area too, for Jerusalem,
well,
for Modin.
Yeah, Jerusalem. So
being able to hold, you know, clinics there and right. to be able to run an academy there. And, you know, the Renata field has already made a huge difference for the Renata program and for...
All right, I guess there's no option. I'll have to...
You'll have to run for mayor of Beit Shemesh.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Alrighty. Okay, Yoni, anything?
Is there a coach or a manager that you look up to?
A pro manager or somebody in Israel? Or
Like a Joe Torre or I don't know.
Well, Dave Roberts is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, he takes a lot of heat for some decisions he's made in playoffs in previous years.
That's
and
managing.
That happens.
Part of managing.
But I think the way he manages a clubhouse full of stars is impressive and... the way he conducts himself is really, you know, I think, you know, I'll always watch his post-game interviews, the way he really, the way he answers questions. He's very thoughtful, and you can see that, you know, the entire team really respects him. So, yeah, he's somebody definitely that I try to learn from.
Yeah, learning for so long in Los Angeles, in a place like Los Angeles, it's mm-hmm. not easy.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right,
and your favorite player?
My favorite Israeli player?
Sean Green.
My favorite Israeli player or my favorite...
let's start with an Israeli player.
My favorite Israeli player is Asaf.
Asaf, I'll give him that. We're team Asaf here,
yeah.
So you know.
My favorite baseball player is Kershaw.
All right.
I was at his first career start back in 06.
Whoa.
Was it 06? Maybe 08, actually. No, I think he debuted in 08. I was at his first career start. And I'm always rooting for him. What's that?
You won?
I think he did. I think it was against the Phillies or the Cardinals.
Everything is searchable.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That was indeed 08.
08, right.
08.
Dodger Stadium.
What was it, like May of 2008? I think it was against the Phillies. Was it?
I can definitely... It was.
L.A.
St. Louis.
St. Louis? Oh, St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis.
You were living in L.A. then?
I was living in L.A. then, yeah.
He won the game 4-3. His next game was in Mets, in Shea Stadium. Shea Stadium.
Last season of Shea.
Which he won 9-5. Your favorite player? Not Israeli, abroad?
I said Josh Young.
But now we can open it up. It might be, I don't know, an Astro or a what? Yeah. Or a Royal.
Royal, I don't think.
Does it have to be Curry?
No, it doesn't have to be. It can bring...
I think my favorite player is Adrian Beltre.
That's
a good one. Yeah.
You see, that's like...
It's a good one.
Yeah, but it shows you... I mean, I would never say like, because for me it's like... is too contemporary to be like a great player, but once again,
he has to be like in the 60s.
Nah, 50s. 80s, 90s for me to be like an old great player. I'm I'm shocked. Okay, we can chat for a long time, but people need to go back home and get ready for whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. The week.
Yeah, and obviously, unlike baseball, we always know when the game, when the broadcast is ending. Not before, Yoni. What happened there? Who was the player who went ahead in the, was selected in the draft? And then did not sign?
No, that's not that.
The
player since 1900
mm-hmm.
that led both leagues in home runs and triples. The first one.
Yeah.
In the same season.
Okay.
You said Willie Mays. Freddie said Willie Mays.
Yeah.
Yoav said Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
Erez said Jim Rice.
Yeah.
I took Stan Musial.
Nobody took George Brett.
Nobody took George Brett. And which the answer is...
George Brett.
Willie Mays.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, this is the obvious one to me, but there you go.
1955. 51 home runs and 13 triples. Leading for both leagues.
Did any of the other guys do that? Later in the career?
The only player to duplicate Mays' feat to date is Jim Rice.
Mm-hmm.
With 46 home runs and 15 triples in 1978, he's got an MVP that season. That's it, the only one.
What a weird player.
Yeah.
What do I win?
Mickey never does, did it? That's amazing.
Yeah, but triples.
Mickey.
When you miss a home run, it's a double. A triple is...
Yeah,
in
Yankee Stadium, there were no...
A triple is a double.
Triples.
A triple is
a double. Home run or a double, yeah.
Okay, we shall end at this point. Nitan, למצוא אותנו באתר Baseball Podcast COIL או ביוטיוב, youtube.com/strudel-a-kosher-hotdog. תוכלו למצוא את הפודקאסט באפל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי וכמובן בכל האפליקציות. דרגו אותנו, תנו לנו משוב. סמנו לייק ופרגנו בחמישה כוכבים, ככה פודקאסט יקבל יותר חשיפה אצל כל חובבי הבייסבול שעדיין ישנם שם. פרדי, מה דעתך על חיים כץ? איך הקשר שלכם?
חיים כץ,
כן.
What, the former president of Israel Baseball?
Former president and executive.
Yeah, and a big Pirates fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And executive producer of this podcast.
Yeah.
עכשיו, אני לא יודע אם אתה יודע, אבל אני כל הזמן מנסה להציק לו, להוציא ממנו, quotes, אתה יודע, יוני, הוא ממש נמאס לו.
Mm-hmm.
אז הוא אומר לי כאילו, you don't understand, you know what separates you, means me,
mm-hmm.
separates you and being a genius? And I said, what? I said, you.
Nice.
כן,
nice.
אז נראה לי שהפינה הזאת בדרך ל... לא, כאילו, הוא פשוט לא עונה לי יותר, אתה מבין?
כן, בסדר. חיים כץ,
טוב, ננסה מה...
שחיים, תתחיל לייצר בעצמו, מה, זה לא פייר, הכל אתה צריך לעשות לבד פה.
כן.
מה זה מפיק אחרי ככה?
טוב, ניתן להמשיך את הדיון בפייסבוק או באתר, מה זה חושב שלנו, הופס, אי
איזה? חיים כץ, את הדיון אחרי כץ?
כן, אין יותר בייסבול ישראלי.
יהיה.
יוב, לא עושה.
נשמע דרמטי.
אין יותר בייסבול, לא יהיה יותר בייסבול ישראלי לעולם.
מה שהבאנו פה אנשים שידברו קצת על בייסבול ישראלי.
אתם מתכוננים לאפריל?
We're getting ready.
Yeah?
We're getting ready. A lot of hard work in the winter.
אוקיי. אליפות תבוא, או שאתה תמשיך לעשות חילופים מוזרים?
גם וגם.
גם וגם. אוקיי, יוני, מה שלום? מה לפני שסוגרים?
תודה רבה לשניכם.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a pleasure. תודה לך, יוני.
תודה לך.
ותודה לכם על הסדה לאיקון של הודוג עם יוני לברי וארז שט. בייסבול טוב ישראל.
יאללה, ביי. Swung and a drill to right field, doing back Sanders, on the track, at the wall, see ya, see ya, see ya, a home run! No, I thought you're talking about news.
We'll let's ease up. We're going to tell us about this, a young and up-and-coming player that... Will eventually one day make the big money.
Yeah, well, give me... The last guy we talked about was Agustin Ramirez, right?
That is correct.
So, give me 1 minute.
Even two.
If you ask me if I'm ready, no. The answer is no.
But we can move ahead.
Okay. So...
Yes?
Should we, like, pause it, or...
Sorry.
Should we not?
זה יכול לחכות 10 דקות, או שאתה חייב?
Is that right if I go pee? Sorry.
No worries.
Weird. I was actually going to ask before the podcast.
You played against the Rays?
Any edits? Like edit, I thought it was edited, oh, but I guess.
Yeah,
no, it's
not live. It's edited.
Yeah.
ואחרי זה, אנחנו לא אחרי המשדר אומרים טוב, בוא נעשה כמה בלופרס בשביל הצחוקים.
לא, לא, הם מגיעים לבד.
כן, עובדה. אני דאגתי.